Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
SRT crew.
Whoa.
SRT. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so. What you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll top forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money. They with a strong, I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable live from the SRT Studios overlooking Atlantic Station. We are back in studio. Snowmageddon got us last week, and we had to do a video chat, and worked out pretty well. We still had some things to talk about, and we still got some things to talk about as the SRT crew, episode number 74, is bringing it to you. Please check out the website, srtradio.com, and please make sure you check us out on Facebook Live, SRT Sports Talk Radio. On Facebook, to all of our loyal tenants.
What up, tenants?
The tenants are in the building checking us out. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Got some hot news, some breaking news as well. Then we got our main man, end of the year, Falcons Report DW will be calling in around 7:30, so make sure you check that out. Then we got Bo Bell coming in studio, talk some NBA. NBA All-Star Snubs. And some other things that we can talk about that are alleged as we were walking in the studio. Some things popped up on the AP poll that we probably going to talk about tonight. And with that being said, I'm your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead. And of course, I got my main man. Got a new defensive coordinator, new assistant coach in Dallas, I see. All the way from Memphis, the sports superhero Hancock is in the building.
What's up, big homie?
Ain't that shaking?
What up, Six?
What's up, man?
What up, rest of the crew? G Money?
Yo.
What's going on? And all the tenants out there, what's up?
There it is.
Thank y'all for tuning in, riding with us tonight. Let's get it, big homie.
And of course, checking in and filling in the sixth man of the year as he gets this award each and every year. Jay Smooth!
Yo, glad to be back as always, man. It's always a pleasure when I get that call.
There you go. That's what I'm talking
coming
about.
Coming out the bullpen.
Coming out. Yeah. Trevor Hawkins.
What's his walk-up music? What's what he coming in out of the bullpen on?
I have no idea.
Song from Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, it's definitely not
it's
Wild.
Shaft, thing. Baby.
Right.
Shaft.
The Shaft thing.
Exactly. So, actually, I reached out to Isaac Hayes the third today. He's doing big things as well, and I definitely need to hook him up with you.
That kid looks just like his father.
Just like him.
I think the first time I saw him, I actually thought that was Isaac Hayes. I mean, technically, it was Isaac Hayes, but yeah, I thought it was the one that wrote the music for Shaft, yeah, scored the soundtrack.
Exactly. So, man, we got a big show. And let's not forget, this Sunday, the 28th, we will have a Sports Sunday with SRT crew and the Crush Sports Talk radio show. So come on out to the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia, from 2 to 4. From 2 to 4, we will eat some good old seafood and talk some good old sports. So y'all make sure y'all tune in for that. And with that being said,
oh, hold on, big homie, you didn't the baby under the glass, man.
He said, "Yo,
did it?
Yeah.
Did you say yo?
I did. When you spoke to me, he hasn't spoken to
me. Oh, okay, that's what I'm saying. You don't give him his love. You ain't give him his love.
The man behind the glass saying more than anything now. So now Hancock got him saying everything.
Engineer extraordinaire.
Engineer extraordinaire.
The man.
The man behind the glass. Well, actually, now he's the Facebook Live extraordinaire.
There he is.
Yeah.
Man of many talents.
The man of many talents. And if you want to get your some drops going on, this is the man to talk to. The man behind the glass, G-Money.
Yo.
There it is.
That's official. All right, G. With that being said, let's jump into some hot dudes.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable Hot News.
Sports Roundtable Hot News, sponsored by Big Easy Grill. You're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town. And please don't say blow that to them. But you can go over to the Big Easy Grill, get the best shrimp in town, along with some crab claws and the best po' boy. Go over to 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. We will be there this Sunday talking sports from 2 to 4. The first question I have, Hancock, there's some things going on in Cleveland. So much that alleged trades are coming out, and one big thing about the DeAndre Jordan possibly going to Cleveland. If this happens, your thoughts on what he can bring and what Cleveland will gain or lose if they pull this trigger.
What he brings, Harris, is a rim protector. He brings someone who really will get caught out on pick and rolls and be in trouble, be in no man's land. He brings no free throw shooting. What he does is allow you to extend your defense, though, and allow the guys that do play perimeter defense to gamble a little bit more, be able to go out and just play a little more aggressively on defense, knowing that if they get beat, they do have a shot blocker back there. But if you put him in pick and roll and you have teams that bring him away from the rim, you're pretty much still going to have the same thing. I don't know if he really contributes enough to help Cleveland get over the hump. Cleveland is just like everybody else in the NBA. They got a three-word problem. Golden State Warriors. And the problem, every time you can talk about any team and whatever the question is, by the time you finish talking about it, Golden State gets mentioned. Right. Whether you talk about Houston, whether you talk about Boston, whether you talk about Cleveland, whether you talk about anybody in the West, everybody it's a Golden State problem. And that's what it is. Cleveland's problem was that you had them as being the second best team in the NBA, with no doubt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they have gone through and pretty much torn up their team and made these adjustments and trying to do everything and, you know, in order to try to compete with Golden State. And it has done nothing but cause drama within the organization. I don't care. Kyrie could have been holding someone hostage, literally, with a gun, and I wouldn't have let him get out because you had him under contract for 2 years.
Right.
You didn't have a commitment from LeBron, so if LeBron left, at least you had a star, a superstar on your team still left. I don't care how his feelings were hurt, you shouldn't have let him out. This DeAndre Jordan trade is not going to benefit them to the point where I don't even know if they're going to get out of East. You know, a lot of people are scared to say it. Right now, I don't see them getting out of East. I'm going to be honest with you. And I know, they did this last year, but they had Kyrie last year.
Right.
And, you know, all this rhetoric about who won the trade, I guess now you know who won the trade. And who won the trade was Boston. IT was damaged from the time he came. And if Cleveland were smart, instead of trying to get an extra draft pick, they should have voided the trade, sent him back, and got Kyrie to have to stay. That was the thing you should have done right there. When you found out his hip was worse than it was.
Because they had an opportunity.
They had an opportunity because you saw the NBA gave them an extra pick.
Right.
So that was legitimate right there. You should have said, well, no. This is not what we signed up for. But your original question about DeAndre Jordan, I don't see it being a benefit, really. I don't think it even helps him in the East.
Well, somebody said, well, he protects the rim, but They say, well, in Golden State, they shooting threes. So
that's
that,
exactly
that,
what
that
I mean.
Help.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
And Houston shoot threes, so, I mean, I don't know. That's.
And don't forget, he can opt out of his contract this year, DeAndre Jordan, that is. So, I just don't think it's a good move at all. Because they could trade for him, and he could still leave anyway, so.
And you give up the pick, because everywhere, any trade you make, whoever you're trading with is going to want that pick, which is about seventh right now.
Right.
Because Brooklyn is playing better than expected. So it could possibly get even worse, the pick. I mean, that is. So you might be hedging your bets. You might need to trade it now before it goes down to 10 or 11 or whatever, because you don't know. I mean, with Brooklyn, that's a fluid situation.
Yeah, I agree.
They're only 6.5 back of the last playoff spot, so they could sneak in there.
So then what are you at?
Yeah, I agree. All right, question number two. There have been a lot of coaching changes. Sherman going to the Giants, and mainly the press conference of Mike Vrabel going to the Titans. I want to get the thoughts on Jay Smooth, who is a Tennessee Titan fan, on your thoughts on having a mobile quarterback, but a defensive coach as the head coach.
So I'll just start with this. I'll reserve judgment until he fills out his entire staff.
Okay.
His plan for Mariota was to hire Ryan Day, the assistant at Ohio State, but he stayed at Ohio State and became the offensive coordinator. So his plan was to bring Ryan Day in and run a Chip Kelly-style offense.
Right.
Because Ryan Day, he was under Chip Kelly at Oregon at one point. So we don't have an OC. We don't have a defensive coordinator. They decided to part ways with Dick LeBeau also.
Mm-hmm.
It's concerning for me because Mike Vrabel, I think too many teams get caught up in that Patriot magic, quote unquote. And John Robinson, who is the Titans GM, he came from the Patriots. He's from the Patriots front office tree, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this established relationship there with Mike Vrabel. So I figured that would have been a hire all along. But I'm concerned because he was a linebackers coach for 3 years during his time in Houston, and he was only DC defensive coordinator for 1 year. And his last year as defensive coordinator, they arguably had the worst defense in football, the Houston Texans did. And I'll give them A.J. Boye, Brian Cushing, and J.J. Watt. They all were hurt or left on in free agency last year. So I'm really concerned at this point, but like I said, you know, I'll give the guy a chance, but I'll reserve judgment until he completes his entire staff, because right now I'm not a fan of it, the hire at all, to be honest. So, yeah, I would have loved to see them hire a more experienced guy, or at least a guy that has been an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator for a few years at least. So I'm not excited about it, but they feel like he has great command of the room and he's a player's coach and this and that, but you still have to prove it on the field. And until that I see that, I don't know.
Jack Del Rio would probably have been a good hire.
And I mean, we talk about that all the time. Those are one of those same retreads, those rehires. I mean, you know, and Mike Vrabel, he is new blood. He is a fresh hire. I'll give him that. So I'll give the guy a chance.
Okay.
I just need to see who he hires as his assistants.
All right, question number 3, G. Good or bad, your boy Jason Kidd gets the axe in Milwaukee for underperforming his team. Your thoughts? Good or bad? Indifferent?
Initially, I think it's bad. Because I know they're 4-7 so far this month. But you have to look at like how young the team actually is. Some people thought, oh, they could get out of the East. They're still a very young team.
Right.
And I think Kidd was bringing them along, and they're going to have some slumps, and it's the only way they will get through it is by playing more. And I also think it's bad because you clearly upset your franchise player, because he believes that he got to where he was, to this superstar status, because of his coach.
Right.
So that could affect, I'm not sure if he signed a long-term deal or not,
Yeah, he signed a 4-year, $100 million. He's like 25, 20-something million a year.
Okay. Wow.
Talking about extension, the Greek
freak. Yeah, extension. Yeah. $100 million extension, I believe.
Well, you clearly upset him to where he may not re-up if this doesn't turn around or if you don't hire the right coach to bring this team along. In the short term, I think it's bad. And in the long term, it could be better if they get the right guy, because I think this is going to be a job that a lot of coaches are going to want come the summer. I don't know who's going to be available at that time. Some coaches may get fired. We did have us last year. No coaches were fired, which almost never happens. So I think someone's going to be available to where the Bucks might take a look at to pick them up.
Do you think a Van Gundy would take a shot at something like that?
Jeff?
Yes.
Possibly, but he's one of those guys to where a lot of guys who coached like in the 90s and the early 2000s didn't really change their offensive strategy to kind of fit how the game is played today. And I think Jeff Van Gundy is one of those guys from coaching the Knicks and the Rockets. What Milwaukee has an issue with is they don't use the three-pointer enough, or maybe
they don't have the right shooters.
They don't have enough shooters.
Yes. Right.
So it's roster construction, but they have to kind of reconstruct that roster to kind of keep up with everybody. At one point, they were second or third in the East.
Right.
Now they're eighth.
Hey, yeah.
But it has to be a guy who can kind of use that kind of open offensive philosophy, and also a guy who can who can develop young players.
Right.
And I mean, don't hire a Byron Scott who doesn't like coaching.
How about Mark Jackson, since you saw him cultivate the talent with Golden State? What do you think his imprint would be on that team?
It's possible. The key thing with him, though, is how would he deal with the front office? Golden State fired him because he didn't get along with management.
True.
That's part of why Jason Kidd got fired, why he, like, got his way out of Brooklyn, and partially why he's got fired here in Milwaukee, because he didn't get along with the front office. So has Mark Jackson, like, can he collaborate with the front office? That'll be the key thing for him, because I think he would be a good coach for this team. They're a young team, and like you said, he can put his imprint on them.
One thing I've noticed or take note of is that they didn't even let Jabari Parker even get back to get a healthy team or a full team to see.
Another reason why in the short term this looks bad. Like, he doesn't have all his players yet. They might have been much better with Jabari Parker.
Even last year, they didn't have, what's the shooter they do have?
He
was out for a long time, and then Jabari got hurt. So they haven't had those three in the lineup for extended time to see if that team could gel and be something.
And Brogdon has gotten much better.
Exactly.
Along with the signing of Tony Snell.
And the addition of Bledsoe. So you would have had at least a legit starting five.
Right.
And a few people on the bench. The way Henson is a decent bench player. Thon Maker, he would have been back to a better role for him rather than to try to put him. I think he got thrust into a more of a starring role than he was ready for.
Talking about the future All-Star, right?
Yeah. I think they kind of thrust him a little faster than they really wanted to or needed to.
Right.
And he's really retarded a little bit this year.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel bad for Jason Kidd. One of the top point guards ever to play the game.
And, oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Will he get another shot?
I think so.
You think so?
Do you think it was too much, too fast? Because after his last year of playing, the very next season, he's Brooklyn's coach.
Yeah, I agree.
Think he should have, like, spent time as an assistant first? Or is it fine that he just kind of went right into coaching right after playing?
Well, I can't knock that piece. I think his biggest issue, as you said, is getting along with management. I don't know if you learned that from being an assistant coach or whatever the case may be. I just think those are just people skills and understanding as a player how to actually win and things of that nature. So I don't think that piece had a lot to do with it. I think that him just getting along, him being stubborn, or could be that's the case, because, with the talent that they have, it's tough to say. a lot of management are not hands-on like some of these basketball managements are, you know, that we've seen. So he's just kind of been unlucky, in my opinion, to find these teams that hire him and they don't get along. So maybe go back to Dallas. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. As an assistant, maybe.
You think? Yeah.
To learn. Maybe now he may want to be an assistant coach somewhere.
Or maybe Phoenix.
Maybe Phoenix. That's what I was thinking, Phoenix.
Yeah, now Phoenix, yeah, and they are young. They didn't change ownership because
they still got the same owner.
They had fired Earl Watson first week of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully he gets another gig. All right.
Before you move on, D Will said he got no love in the intro. So I'm saying, what up, D Will? He's watching on Facebook Live.
D Weezy.
Sorry about that, Weezy.
D, I need a t-shirt.
He has a whole promo coming up. I'm pretty sure he'll get some love. All right, question number four. Hancock, the Rockets, do you think sent a message to the Warriors to say that we are here?
I'm going to temper this by, because I was asked this at work.
Uh-oh.
That same question. And the answer I gave, the guy accused me of being a Warrior fan. And I was like, wow, I mean, you asked me a question. So I'm a Laker fan. And I'm suffering, but I'm a Laker fan.
Right.
I'm not a Warrior. I like the Warriors. Don't get me wrong, but I'm a Laker fan.
Right.
But anyway, prefacing that or just saying that, the Warriors don't look at them as a threat right now. And you can tell. They were coming off. They were on a 5-game road trip. Mm-hmm. They had won 14 road games in a row. They took the lead late in the fourth quarter and still almost pulled it out. You look at the stats on the game. Klay Thompson shot 3 for 11. Steph shot 6 for 20 from the field. And KD wasn't really that. They wasn't that. Well, KD was better. He was 9 out of 17. But what I'm trying to say is they turned the ball. Steph had 6 turnovers, and they were just live ball turnovers where they were just unforced.
Young Steph.
Yeah, just young Steph. Just turned the ball over. And I think Draymond even had 5. So I don't think they respected Houston. Houston did show me, though, that they have enough firepower to compete. But the problem is when you look at the assists. Golden State had 31 assists on their shots, and Houston had 19. Mm. So what I'm saying to you is when ball movement and everything works out right, which is – what happens, you get easier shots by moving the ball, making sure you get a better shot, rather than going one-on-one, pound, 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 and shoot a three.
Right.
It's not going to win in the playoffs.
Because Steph won't go 6
Steph
for 20.
Steph won't go 6 for 20. Klay won't go 3 for 11. It won't happen.
And the tempo slows down.
At least not 4 times out of 7 games.
Exactly.
And the other game in January.
And the other thing was the grown-up in the room, Iguodala, didn't play. Mm. Which you have to understand what he does for that team.
Right.
And I just, you know, I'm trying not to downplay it. I think it was important for Houston, because if they would have lost, then it would have been like, well, we really just can't do anything with them. So I think it did help Houston, but don't tug on Superman's cape. And with Capella coming out just blatantly saying we're better than them,
yeah,
I don't think that was a good move.
What was the final score on that game?
116-108.
And they only lost by 8 points. So
and that was and it. One of them, it was a deep three that the Beard made after Steph had ripped
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, I mean, ripped him. Yeah. they went down, didn't score.
Yeah, Steph got Chris Paul's number.
Yeah, he does. He does.
All right, question number 5. Jay Smooth. Will the Pats be the Pats next year after losing their defensive coordinator and their offensive coordinator? Because the defensive coordinator goes to Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Yep.
And
Colts. Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels will be the Colts.
Yeah.
So how do you think they would do next year with losing both of them?
Well, whenever we talk about the Patriots, there's this thing we always mention. We talk about the culture, and Bill Belichick, he has, you know, a proven penchant or knack or pedigree for developing coaches. And, you know, we just talked about a guy earlier, Mike Vrabel. He didn't coach directly under Bill Belichick, but he played for him for, you know, quite a few seasons and won 3 Super Bowls under him. But Bill Belichick, he develops not only players, but coaches as well, like no one else in football that I've ever seen. And for me, this is really not a concern because we've seen it before. After that 04 Super Bowl, the third Super Bowl that they won, they lost Romeo Crennel to the Cleveland Browns. That turned out horrible. And Charlie Weiss.
Right.
He landed with, who was it, Notre Dame?
Notre Dame.
Yeah. So we've seen this before. There's a precedent that's been set. And, you know, even after losing those coordinators, they went on to go to 2 more Super Bowls, what, 07 and the, what was it, 10?
11.
11. After that.
I lose track. They go all the time.
Right. They go all the time. So I think they'll be okay. But, I also think it might be kind of careless to say that there won't be some drop-off. Perfect example, the Atlanta Falcons. Kyle Shanahan left, and, you know, you bring in a guy, Steve Sarkisian, who, well, I know that's a whole different topic for another.
Ball game.
Yeah. But long story short, I think the Patriots will be fine. From what I've read and hear, Brian Flores, who's the linebackers coach, he's likely to succeed Matt Patricia as DC, and Chad O'Shea, the wide receivers coach, he's the likely successor to Josh McDaniels. So these are guys who know their system. These are guys who knows what Bill Belichick wants to do defensively and offensively. And I expect the train to keep going because they're still in a division with Miami Dolphins, Buffalo Bills, and whoever else is. Who's the last team?
The Jets.
The Jets, yeah.
And as Marty Terry says, and they have the referees.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree with you, Marty.
Yeah.
They have the referees.
Yeah, so as long as Tom Brady, as long as he doesn't hit a cliff, as long as he doesn't fall off a cliff, I expect him to be the same Patriots next year.
Same Patriots.
Yep.
How do you continue to get calls, though?
They get them.
I try to steer myself away from.
Let's just talk about it, though, Harsh. Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
That last call was a holding. That last first down.
How about the strip with
Miles Jack?
Miles Jack.
That he was clean and he was up to the house.
And I don't do the conspiracy theory much, but I'm gonna do it this time.
Okay.
The play where the clock ran out. How come there was no replay right after happy? If you notice, they just said, "Well, it was delay of game." They didn't show the clock ran out until halftime. After they had a chance to get all the stuff in order and show that the clock ran out. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. You've been watching football a long time, right? When the clock runs out, don't they blow the play dead?
Mm-hmm.
Did that play get completed?
Yes.
All the way down the field got completed, right?
Just like any other call, once it's gone, it's gone.
So all of a sudden, you come back and say delay a game and then mark off 5 and nobody has a problem with it.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
Look, and we didn't get talked about last week. What about the punt when they had a false start call? We're about ready to mark it off, turn around and say, no, offside on Tennessee.
Wow. Yeah.
I agree with that.
So I'm just saying, these calls that they get, it's just ridiculous.
Well, let's continue this because we got to go to break real quick.
Well, I just heard, like, one of my friends asked me, you didn't want Jacksonville to win? No, I didn't. I don't want to see Blake Bortles at this Super Bowl. No, thank you.
And that's a great point.
Oh, man. All right, man. When we get back, and that'll wrap up the hot news, but when we get back, we got a Falcons report. DW will be on the phone end of the year. Falcons report. Get all your questions ready, and let's do it. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
Sports Roundtable.
The Jags and the Bills game was
struggle ball.
Watching paint dry.
Yes. Watching grass grow.
Damn, I need to come up with one.
I missed the ball. My fault. I fumbled.
Watching water boil.
I mean.
There you go. Thank you.
Hey, running out of gas.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM. Please welcome everyone's favorite Falcoholic, David D.W. Walker.
Sports Roundtable back at you. Please give us a follow on social media at SRT Radio. On the phone, we have our guy. You can follow him at Falcoholic D.W., the host of the Falcoholic Podcast. Don't let your kids hear it, because when kids are around and the Saints lose like they lose, he's going to say some disparaging words and the kids are going to look awful. And you can find his articles on thefalcoholic.com. It is DW. What's up, D-Dub?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All good. Hey, I can imagine how your son's friend looked at you when you saw... I just couldn't take it. I said, Lord have mercy. I just can't believe it. But this is a family show, so we're not going to repeat it. We just go let everybody know where they can listen. At the end of this segment, you can tell everybody where to go to find the podcast, and they can listen for themselves. But we have to get to first things first. The end of the year faculty report. I would want to know, or the listeners would want to know, grade the last game against the Eagles and then grade the season for the Falcons.
Wow. I think in general, you know, if you get back to the playoffs, you win, you know, in the first round, in the wild card round, you know, that's a good year for most teams. I think expectations were high for this Falcons team, but that's still a pretty good year. I'm going to give it overall a B. As for the Eagles game, you know, the defense played really well for the most part. They did give up the one big drive that, you know, we're sort of accustomed to at this point. But I felt like they played a good game. The offense looked disjointed. It looked like they didn't have a plan. You know, overall, sort of a C- for the Eagles game. A little disappointing for, you know, how they finished.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with the video coming out with my man from from Bleacher Report, SB Nation or something, come out to show the breakdown on how the Falcons were unprepared and things of that nature. So it didn't really help and things of that nature. But I do want to get your take on your takeaway from Dan Quinn end of the year press conference.
Well, you know, there's one thing I really like about Dan Quinn as a head coach, and he is very self-reflective. He does not try to shy away from questions or criticism. One of the big things that we heard is that he did not anticipate how much of a struggle there would be in changing all of the offensive coaches the way that they did. He thought it would be a more seamless transition to Steve Sarkisian. And obviously that did not turn out to be the case. And so it sounded like from his press conference that he was admitting that the struggles from the offense had a lot to do with the coaching changes, you know, which he was a part of. So I think that was one of the biggest takeaways was he admitted to that. He admitted that change was very disruptive and caught him off guard.
Right. And I was very, very surprised that he did it up front. So I was very, very I'm impressed with that as well, because we on the media side, we're not going to talk about just the average fan, knew exactly the disruption and things of that nature. So I can kind of pound him for that. I do want to touch on if the Falcons are looking for an offensive lineman, and if that's the weakest link as of right now, does Thomas Dimitroff, and he does not have, in my opinion, a great track record in drafting offensive linemen. You're talking about Lamar Holmes, Peter Kunz, Mike Johnson, Sean Hollow. I mean, I can go on, and I'm pretty sure you can as well. Do we draft the offensive lineman, or do you think it'll be better to do it in free agency?
Well, the problem this year is it's not a particularly deep free agent class from what we can see. If you grab someone in free agency, it's more than likely going to be a veteran, and it's going to be someone that you sign closer into the August, September timeframe than you would early on in, you know, the offseason. I think there is a very strong chance that they're going to sign or go and draft an offensive guard. You know, they were looking very intently at Isaiah Wynn from UGA, who is, you know, played tackle in college, but it looks like he'll kick inside to guard at the NFL level. One of our writers is at the Senior Bowl, talked with Dan Quinn, and they're looking very intently at both tight ends and offensive guards right now. So the early signals are the Falcons are going to go and try to find a long-term replacement on the interior in this draft class.
I also heard about a guard out of Appalachian State. I think it's Gazik or something like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is one of the highest ranked guards, you know, by PFF, their college rankings. So he is definitely someone they had an eye on as well.
Gotcha. All right. So we could call this the elephant in the room. Greg Knapp. They hired him. Why him?
Because they wanted to relive 2006. I don't know. You know, it's, well, let's be clear about one thing. They brought him in to be a quarterback's coach.
Right.
And you know, he is not offensive coordinator, at least not yet. obviously, longtime Falcons fans, you know, they sort of get a twitch in their knee and you know, sort of want to hit things when they hear about Greg Knapp, but I'm hoping in this particular position he's going to be a good fit. You know, he does have ties with Dan Quinn. He is very familiar with, you know, the Shanahan offense. So I think there were a lot of reasons it made sense. You know, he's obviously a very experienced coach at the NFL level. I think Falcons fans will need to be patient with this because, you know, he is coming in under different circumstances, a different head coach, different front office. So let's see how this one plays out. But yeah, that was not the first name I expected to see as a coaching hire in the offseason.
Now, some would say if he would have interviewed four or five offensive coordinators, maybe we wouldn't have been in this situation this year instead of just hiring the guy after losing the Super Bowl the next day. You're listening to Sports Roundtable, and I have my man DW on the phone doing the Falcons Report. You can follow him on Twitter at FalcoholicDW.
D-Dub, got one question for you. Looking at how Tevin Coleman finished out the year and actually ran well to me in that last game, do you think he'll kind of maybe take the lead or could at least challenge for the lead running back with the Falcons next year and maybe get a little bit more time than what we saw in the Freeman? Having the concussion problems pretty much this year or whatever, do you think Tevin kind of pushes him in that job this year? In the coming year?
You know, I really like Tevin Coleman, and something else interesting that came out of the postseason press conference was Thomas Dimitroff did not write off Tevin Coleman. He thinks there's a chance that they will get him signed and keep him in, you know, Falcons uniform for the long term. Whether or not that's realistic is a different conversation, but, you know, keep in mind, Tevin Coleman was a Dan Quinn draft pick. Devontae Freeman was a carryover from, you know, the last regime. I really like Tevin Coleman. I think he was underutilized, especially in the Philadelphia game where he was gashing him in the first half. He only got five carries in the second half. Very frustrating. The guy's got top-end speed. He can catch the ball. Yeah, I think there's absolutely a chance he can challenge for those lead reps, and I think he's going to want that opportunity so he can drive up his price tag.
Yeah, and looking at the tight end situation, really that to me is a disappointing position here at the Falcons. Just looking around the league, I don't know if Burton is he a free agent coming up this year, Harris, the guy from Philadelphia?
Trey Burt.
Yeah.
Think so.
If he is, do you think he's somebody that you can look at? He's a nice pass catching tight end.
He's athletic.
I could see him doing some good things for the Falcons.
I think they will look at who's out there in free agency. I don't know that they're going to spend top dollar on the tight end. I still think they have big plans for Austin Hooper. I think the thing to remember with young tight ends is it generally takes them about 3 years to get acclimated to the NFL and really hit their peak. So we're still in year two with Austin Hooper. I wouldn't write him off yet. However, behind him, Levine Toilolo, I'd be happy if that guy disappeared. He has hands of stone, yeah. Greased in butter and dipped in olive oil. So no thank you to that. But they are looking at tight ends again in this draft class. So, you know, another position to keep an eye on when April comes around.
Right. Okay. Well, it's Christmas and I got a lump of coal in my stocking with your answer. So.
Story of my life.
Appreciate it.
All right. So, D-Dub, Dan Quinn did mention in his press conference that he will be more involved with the offense next year. What exactly, in your opinion, did he really mean by that?
I think he means, you know, specifically calls that come in on the field and what he wants to try to accomplish on the offense. You know, when he originally brought in Shanahan, he brought in Shanahan because he said from a defensive mindset, that is one of the most difficult offenses he had preparing, you know, had a hard time preparing for. And I think that's what he still wants to accomplish. And I don't think he necessarily saw that this year with Steve Sarkisian. They didn't have as much play action as they did in 2016. The wide zone runs weren't as much of a factor this year. I think he's going to dictate us going back to more of that wide zone running scheme, play action that, you know, we had so much success with in 2016. So I think that's a big part of it. And I also think, you know, some of those questionable calls that we saw throughout the year in critical situations, I think Dan Quinn is going to exert himself more in 2018 as a head coach.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to play GM for a second. And if you can give us some possible names that we can kind of keep our eye on in rounds 1 through 3.
Okay, I'm looking at the falcoholic.com right now, and some of our great writers have got some names up there. You mentioned the guard out of Appalachian State, Colby Gossett.
Right.
He is definitely one to keep an eye on. There is a really promising defensive tackle out of North Carolina State that has, you know, drawn their attention at the Senior Bowl. By the name of B.J. Hill. So he is a name to keep an eye on, especially with, you know, Falcons being a little bit light on talent at defensive tackle behind Grady Jarrett, with Don Terry Poe being a free agent.
Right.
And then defensive tackle Maurice Hurst out of Michigan. I think the Falcons are going to look to bolster the trenches in the first few rounds. So I'm definitely paying attention to the defensive tackles and offensive guards for the first few rounds for the Falcons.
Okay. Now, this could kind of be like tongue-in-cheek, and I don't know how if you've heard this, but there are some alleged rumors that Trevor Siemian may become a backup to Matt Ryan because he played under Greg Knapp. Your thoughts on that?
you know, that it's sort of like being kicked in the shin and then punched in the face. You know, You might as well finish me off. You're going to give me Greg Knapp. Might as well give me Trevor Siemian. Honestly, they're rumors, and the thing to keep in mind with rumors like this is a lot of times agents put these rumors out there with teams because they're trying to drive the, you know, the price up for these guys.
Right, right.
I don't know how solid the rumor is. It makes sense from the standpoint that Siemian ran a very similar offense in Denver. He's got starting experience, so he knows what it's like to actually be in an NFL game. And he's also not, you know, 138 years old like Matt Schaub. So there are some upsides. He would probably be a little bit cheaper than, you know, Matt Schaub, since we're having to pay for his Social Security check. I think, you know, it makes some sense, but man, if we're going to go for a developmental quarterback, I would prefer not to go for Trevor Siemian, to be honest.
I agree. You listen to Sports Roundtable on the Real 1100 AM, and we're on the phone with @FalcoholicDW doing the Falcons report.
Hey, DW, this is G. Now, I have a question about the guy who's actually starting at quarterback. This comes from our Facebook Live feed, but do you think that Matt Ryan should have more of a role in the offense as far as like making changes? Like, you hear a lot of the quarterbacks can't make audibles, or they can't get out of certain plays in certain situations. Do you think Matt Ryan should have that kind of role? Do you think he's ready for that? Or do you think he's better off with the offensive coordinator, like having that kind of control on the field?
I think Ryan's been ready for that kind of role for the past 5-6 years. We've seen him run, you know, the up-tempo Texas offense in the past, you know, with incredible results. We saw it even in 2016. You know, if you look back in the early games of 2016, there were many times where Ryan took, you know, control of the offense on the field in the no huddle and had a ton of success. People forget that with, you know, Shanahan, but they did give him more control in 2016. So, yes, I think it absolutely should happen. He's a veteran quarterback. He is, you know, we didn't draft him for a big arm. We didn't draft him for his physicality. We didn't draft him for his legs. The guy looks like an ostrich on roller skates when he runs. I mean, let's be honest. We drafted him for his football mind, and I think it's about time that we take full advantage of that. Let him, you know, change some plays on the field and let him dictate the offense.
All right, one more question for you. With the kind of related to the free agency question, is there a free agent that out there that you know of that would be a great fit for the Falcons that they should go after?
Ooh, I'll be honest, I am not as up to date on who the free agents are at this point, because, you know, the two names I've heard listed that fans are looking at are Andrew Norwell, who is offensive guard with the Carolina Panthers. There's some thought that he might hit free agency, and he's a pretty good, you know, interior offensive lineman. And then also from the Carolina Panthers, star Lotulelei, the defensive tackle that plays next to Kawan Short. So those are two names I've heard that may hit free agency. The problem at this time of year is you have no idea who's actually going to end up on the market, because these guys can get signed by the teams that, you know, that they're currently with, and all of a sudden that conversation's over.
All right, D-Dog. Well, listen, we really, really appreciate it. The Facebook Live and all of our attendees or SRT really enjoy your thesis when it comes to the Falcon Report, and we do as well. And with that being said, look for something that I know you'll like in the mail coming up pretty soon. And we're going to really thank you for all of this. And tell everybody and all of our listeners where they can find you on Twitter and how they can hear your podcast.
Thank you guys for having me on again this year. I've had a ton of fun. You can find me on Twitter @FalcoholicDW. The Falcoholic Podcast is on all of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. And, of course, you can find me every week with my articles at thefalcoholic.com.
D-Dub, it's been a pleasure, man. Let's do it again next year. And thanks again, and rise up.
Thanks, guys. Rise up.
Rise up, D-Dub.
All right, there you have it, man. D-Dub doing his thing. You know, we've been saying it before. I mean, you know, for Dan Quinn to say that, you know, it was much more than he thought it would be. Mm-hmm. The transition was kind of difficult. And, I mean, we kind of knew that. You lose 10 coaches off one staff. And you lose two other coaches. You lost your quarterback coach and offensive coordinator who had been together for so long, and Ryan sitting in the same game plan room each and every week. That's tough to lose with just somebody who's coming in who doesn't even know the offense.
Yeah,
I mean, that's tough. If you got a question about the offense that you don't know, who you gonna ask? The person is in San Francisco.
Quick question. Does, when Dan Quinn makes these decisions, does he have complete autonomy, or is it a unilateral decision? Is he given permission to make these decisions on his own? Because that seems like something you would consult with, you know, Thomas Dimitroff or, you know, whoever else is in the front office. It's, I mean, that's a really extreme change to get, yeah, to get rid of everybody.
It didn't make sense at all. Like, the weird thing about this that I have never seen before is Sarkisian's brought in not to run his own offense. He's brought in to run someone else's offense. What offense coordinator has to come in and do that to where, okay, we want you to be the guy, but we want you to run this guy's offense, not your own? That has never made any sense to me. And I think that was part of, like, all their offensive troubles this whole season, is that you brought in someone to, it's basically you're asking someone to do someone else's, like, homework, and you've never taken that class.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That is a perfect example. And we want to take this time to give a shout out to D. Will, the coach, since he said he didn't get any love at the beginning of the show. So, D. Will, the coach, Real Talk Tees at BigCartel.com. Please go to the website and cop you a t-shirt as he's out ripping and running, dropping and making t-shirts at right about now. Also, I want to bring up and congratulate Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer. My opinion, I'm a big Braves fan since 77. Maybe I'm telling my age. But the best Atlanta Braves player in the history of Atlanta Braves that I've seen. I know Hank was here, but he was mostly in Milwaukee. So, y'all, please don't kill me for that. Mickey Mantle, Eddie Murray, then Chipper Jones, the highest switch hitting home run rate. And you got to give it up to Chipper, 97.2 Hall of Fame vote. So, rock out Chipper Jones. Jim Thome and Vlad Guerrero and Trevor Hoffman also got into the Hall of Fame as well. So, congrats to those guys as well. But I'm pointing out Chipper Jones because that's my guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, congrats, Chipper. What? Let me ask you this. What do you think about Andrew Jones? What do you think about his prospects in the future? I mean, he was on 7.2% of the ballots. So you think he has a chance in the end?
I hope so. It is, I would say, he might be the best defensive center fielder that we've seen. The offense came on. But I tell you this, when he was 18, he hit 2 home runs in the World Series. So the expectation for his offense was pretty high. Then he had a 50 home run year, things of that nature. So the offensive numbers kind of did, and I don't know how much the Hall of Fame really appreciate defense. Right. Because if you look at it, he may have saved the most runs probably in the history of baseball at playing center field. I don't know when they start keeping that stat, you know, but they keep this stat, saving runs and things of that nature. So I think he has a legit shot. You know, maybe not this time, but hopefully here soon, next year maybe, that Andrew Jones can actually get into the Hall of Fame, and the Braves will have some very good representation in the Hall of Fame, man, because they doing their thing as far as that group.
Yeah.
This group.
I missed out on the conversation. We had a little technical difficulty, but you were saying Andrew Jones, you feel like he's a Hall of Famer?
I think he would get in eventually. You know, like I was telling Jay, I don't know how much defense plays into the Hall of Fame votes. because again, he probably have saved more runs than anybody in the history of baseball as far as playing center field.
Yeah, you know how I am about Hall of Fame, and I get talked about as being too critical. But the thing on it is that if I have to think about him being a Hall of Famer, I can't put him in. That's the biggest criteria I have for it. You know, Hall of Famer to me should jump out. You know, when I think of Chipper, no doubt.
Think
he's a Hall of Famer. But when I have to think about Andrew Jones, it just gives me a little pause. Not that he wasn't a great player.
Right.
But I just have a little pause with it. So,
well, I'm thinking about Jim Thome, but
yeah, me
when
too.
You think about it, you know, he had over 600 home runs.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes when we're thinking about it, we may not be thinking – some things we just don't. Well, some things we overlook and miss.
Yeah,
you know, like Jim Thome, 600 home runs. You know, sometimes you miss that.
Yeah, but you still, know? Even that. When I look at him, I mean, yeah, he hit well, but I mean, he was just a hitter.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like he was a DH. He played first base, but he was most of the time he was a DH.
Yeah, I mean, he just went to work to hit.
And see that, and that's my thing with Andrew Jones, because he was known mostly as a defensive guy,
right?
And that may hurt him because his offensive numbers get overlooked because he was such a great defender.
Yeah. Ozzie Smith is in, though.
That's what.
Yeah,
well, Ozzie he had the name,
yeah, and Omar Vizquel is being looked at as a Hall of Famer too. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I know those were infielders, but still.
Right, but and shortstop used to be a defensive position.
Right.
That's what it all was until we had the
Cal Ripken.
Well, no, until we had steroids. We had Garcia Parra and
A-Rod.
And, you know, then these shortstops were on that juice, and they would hit the ball out.
Exactly. On another note, they are talking to ESPN, is talking to Peyton Manning.
Read that last Facebook question when you get a chance.
ESPN is talking to Peyton Manning about taking John Gruden's spot. And, of course, you heard it here first because I think we mentioned
that's who I
Peyton and maybe Tony Romo, but I think they have to break the bank. And, of course, the Jewel of Sports was so happy to hear that news.
Saw that Facebook
You know what I'm saying?
What up, Jewel?
And some other things that we definitely have to talk about is, before we go to break, I got to get your question on this hand. Lamar Jackson moving position. Why is that even a question?
Because he's black. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, just keep it 100. I mean, the man throws the ball. He runs the ball. He does a lot of things with the football, man. In that position, I mean, the only reason he would have to move position is you can't talk about his stature. You can't talk about anything else. What else can it be? You tell me. Because to me, it's just that he's a black quarterback.
It doesn't make any sense. The only reason why he ran so much is because Louisville didn't have anybody else.
What are we seeing in
the whole offense?
What are we seeing now in the NFL that's coming from college? RPOs, right?
Yeah.
And what is he good at?
RPO.
And what kind of pressure will he put on the edge if he fakes the dive and you go inside? He's going to turn the corner and go to the house. Right?
Yeah. So it's asinine to even think. Well, then you got to check your resources.
But look, at the quarterbacks that are in the NFL right now. I mean, they struggled to fill out 30 quarterbacks this year, man. Starters.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still got Trevor Siemian and what's the other kid in Denver?
So where'd you hear that?
Well, some of these prognosticators during the draft, and you know who they are. Yeah. So,
Look, man, it's to me that would be the only reason. That's the only reason.
They won't say that though.
Well, that's a good thing we can see it on their side too.
Yeah, it.
Until you muzzle me, I'm gonna say it.
I agree. Yeah. Go ahead, Smooth.
Honestly, I don't think it's a mistake. That, you know, maybe arguably the most prestigious position in all of sports, is still mostly held by, you know, a specific race. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just be candid about it. Let's be honest about it. And I think Hancock hit it on the head early. I mean, that's what it is. You know, you hate to continue to play the race card, but I don't think it's a mistake at all that all that they want a certain position in the NFL to remain predominantly white.
Yeah, that race card. If you keep dealing me the Joker, I'm gonna keep playing it. That's
so,
a high
score. So what I was saying is, the Texans hurt Deshaun Watson on purpose.
Yeah. How you let him get hurt in practice? Why do brothers get hurt in practice? Teddy Bridgewater, Deshaun Watson, conspiracy. They're hurting the brothers in practice.
Man, this is off the chain. Hey, when we come back, of course, we got our main man, Bo Bell, in the studio. It's time to talk some NBA. But before we get to that, we're going to come back and talk just a little bit of that NFL and who's going to the Super Bowl and all that. So we'll talk about that. So keep it locked. You listen to Sports Roundtable, SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Lakeville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
The Patriots get 283 dimes in their Super Bowl rings, straight trolling the Falcons. Mm. Are you upset about that if you're a Falcon fan?
Okay, the second half score was what? 28-3, correct? So they go and put 283 diamonds in their ring. Not only that, they booked Gucci Mane, A-Town legend, to perform at the party.
Wow.
Now that's the ultimate trolling. And I think they probably gained about 283,000.
Mm. Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Yeah. Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Crew.
Whoa.
SRSRSRSRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to SRT today. H.O. got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. Man with a strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah. What up, what up, what up? Hour number two, Sports Roundtable. Back at you, baby. We here live. Follow us on Facebook. Live at facebook.com/SRT Sports Talk Radio. And real quick before we jump into our Sports Roundtable discussion, Hancock, the Philadelphia Eagles, Minnesota, played in the NFC Championship game. Wasn't even close.
Nah.
Your thoughts on the game?
Game changed real quick with the turnover.
Interception.
Looked like Minnesota was playing well, had come out, went right down the field. Had Philadelphia kind of scrambling when they split the tailback out. You could see the miscommunications, which was some of the stuff we talked about as to why the Falcons didn't do a little bit more scheme.
Exactly.
And with splitting that running back out, you took a safety out of the box and you had a linebacker that was just lost. Exactly. They ran a corner with the tight end for a touchdown with ease. So I said, uh-oh, here we go. But the turning point of the game, like we said, was the turnover, the interception for a touchdown. Case Keenum all year is that if it was put in his hands to carry a team, he wouldn't be able to do it. honestly, there are always plays, and you can go back and say, well, this play was luck. You know, he threw in the coverage,
right,
and got a good play, whatever. And it just, the dominoes fell for him. But when it was time for him to lead that franchise and be the quarterback that you needed him to be, it's the reason he was undrafted.
Yeah.
Should the Vikings have done what Nick Saban had done and put in Sam Bradford or Teddy B, whoever was active?
He'd have got hurt going on the field.
Yeah.
not Teddy. I thought you were talking about it.
Bradford?
I thought you were talking about Mr. Glass. Bradford.
He would have got hurt going on the field.
Yeah, and there was no time. You can see that they were heating up Keenum. Think about the pressure they would have put on Bradford. He wouldn't have got the ball up.
I agree. So. I got to ask G this question, though, before we go to the AFC.
Did I watch the game? No.
that's not it. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for Minnesota next year?
It's probably I would put money on Bradford. Mm. Keenum's a free agent. I think they're going to let him go. They're like, well, thank you. You know, they might give him a bonus or whatever. Teddy Bridgewater, I think they were trying to trade him over the summer. I feel like they were trying to trade him. But I feel like they may be able to they're going to let him walk. He's going to be a free agent, too. I think they're going to let him walk and catch up with somebody else. I think they want Bradford because he's still got that strong arm, and maybe they're hoping that this is like next year is going to be the year he puts it all together. And I think they're going to draft behind him just in case. They do have another quarterback as well. I can't remember his name. So they carried four quarterbacks. They'll probably do that again next year. You never know with Sam Bradford. Well, you kind of do know with Sam Bradford.
You know him.
But I think they're going to draft behind him just in case. But I think he's going to be the starter next year.
Okay. All right, Jay Smooth. AFC, the Patriots, Jacksonville. Excellent game plan in the first half. Second half looked like they were playing not to lose. Your thoughts on the game?
For me, too much of the conversation around any Patriots game and always involves the refs and the controversial calls. And unfortunately, that's the thing that always sticks out. But on Jacksonville's end, I thought, geez, boy, Blake Bortles, I thought he actually played well enough for them to win the game. Bill Belichick and his staff, Matt Patricia, they made adjustments at halftime. Okay. And you could see that the Jaguars, they actually lacked a deep threat they need a, you know, going into next year, I guess Allen Robinson, I guess he'll be that guy once he gets back. But they need a guy who can stretch the field because they ran a lot of, you know, short intermediate routes. And the Patriots, they dialed in on it and they, you know, they pretty much cut it out in that second half. And like, as you said, they played to lose. And, you know, you could just see overall the lack of experience on Jacksonville's part played a huge role in them losing this game. And, you know, the refs also played a huge role. I mean, that pass interference called, and, you know, we talked about it on the break. Like, the pass interference, that's probably the most game-changing call in all the sports.
Yes.
Like, there's no other sport where one call can completely change the momentum, the tone of the game. Like, I mean, that call put them right there, what, inside the 5-yard line?
Yep.
Or right inside the 10? So I think going into next year, that the NFL, they need to make that a 15-yard penalty. Because teams are losing too many games on, you know, these pass interference calls. And, you know, I think Jacksonville lost it on that and the grunt call.
Okay.
So.
All right, before we move on to the NBA, I do have to ask G one more question. What do you think about Jeff Fisher taking credit for having Case Keenum and Nick Foles, his two former quarterbacks, playing each other in the NFC Championship game?
I can't believe you had the gall to ask me that question.
That's why I was waiting on the crickets.
Jeff Fisher?
Oh, my God.
He's in the Otto Porter category?
Yeah, he's definitely in the Otto Porter category.
Jeff Fisher?
I cannot believe. Did y'all? Oh, my God. Oh.
It's like Sean McDermott saying that Nathan Peterman had some good plays in that game, God, where he threw 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
How is Jeff Fisher on TV or on the radio or wherever he said that?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's exactly what D-Dub said about Levine Toilolo. I mean, you just want to see some of these guys disappear. And Jeff Fisher is one of those guys.
Do y'all know that Kirk Cousins, Brian Hoyer, and Nick Foles was on the Michigan State team all at the same time?
Wow.
Foles was on who team?
Michigan State.
Yeah, he transferred to Arizona.
I know he transferred to Arizona. Wow.
Yeah, because Kirk Cousins was
there. Kirk Cousins is about to get paid.
Yes, he is.
By who, though?
Cleveland.
I think
somewhere.
He's going to Denver.
One of those teams. Cleveland, Denver, somewhere. He's going.
Yeah, I think he's going to Denver. All right, so now it's time to really get down to it. It is now time for our SRT roundtable discussion with Coach Bo Bell.
The roundtable discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Roundtable discussion is sponsored by Coach Bo Bell Basketball. If you have any kids that need some basketball training, some improvement, please contact BoBellBasketball.com. Go down there, and I tell you, the only place, we call it the lab, the only place where feet work is the movement. My main man, Bo Bell, is in studio.
What's up? What's up,
Bo
guys?
Bell.
What's up,
Coach? What's up, man? Always good to be here, man.
There it is.
Welcome home.
Yeah, man.
So, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all those good things of that nature. The NBA is here. Basketball season is over, things of that nature. And the first thing we got to talk about is what is going on in the locker room in Cleveland. Now, I got to preface this by saying, allegedly, the IT department is the one who was the most
vocal
at Kevin Love, and he only been there 8 games. And the description was heated.
Yeah. Emotional.
Coach, talk to us about this locker room in Cleveland and your thoughts on it.
Well, my thing is, everything, it starts at the top. It starts at the top, you know, with the head coach, with the best player, and even the management. All of that plays.
Talking about LeBron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's all the same guy.
He said, yeah.
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 So, you know, he's such a competitor, man, and it's like he wants to win. You know, he wants to be successful. And he wants everybody to be up to his standard. He's a gifted guy, man. You know, he's gifted. And so I think he sort of come off to other guys as if, okay, are you really earning your keep here? That's the atmosphere that he's creating. And some of these guys are not trusting him. And see, once you lose the trust and the belief, then that's when all the friction starts. And so now, you know, everybody in their little corners with their little groups, that whole locker room thing.
Yeah.
Like females, you know what I mean? And so so everybody got their little thing going. And so it's just a mess right now, man. It's a mess, man.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So why does Kevin Love keep taking this heat?
They treat Kevin Love like Mario Chalmers.
Exactly.
You know how Miami used to just, everything was his fault?
Yeah.
Now everything is Kevin Love's fault. And Kevin Love was fine until IT got in the lineup. His stats, he was a part of the team.
He's an all-star.
That's what I'm saying. He was looking like an all-star.
Right.
But you bring IT in, who dominates the ball, who holds LeBron down, who shoots more than LeBron. How can – this is the problem I had when everybody was saying that this was going to make Cleveland better. There was no way, because you're talking about someone who's worse defensively – than anybody else in the NBA. Now, I didn't say on their team.
That's real.
I said in the NBA.
Literally, wow. Like the very last person, wow. Ranked person.
Exactly. And so you look at him, and what his game was based on was speed and quickness. He's got a bad hip. So what does that do to his game? He can't get by people now.
Nope.
He can't elevate. Every time he goes up for a shot, they just wait. Big guys wait. Okay, you up? You can't get no higher than that, and then they knock the ball away. He cannot play right now.
Yeah.
And you put him in the starting lineup when you should have eased him in a bench role.
I agree.
To me, if you wanted to acclimate him to NBA speed and to your team, he should have been coming off the bench and you get him involved.
But there was an issue with that, though, that they don't have a point guard. Even with IT, they kind of still
but,
don't.
Right. And when Calderon
they don't
was,
play him.
But when Calderon was playing, they went 14, 15
yes.
straight games, 14, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you defeated the chemistry that you had. Like I said, he should have been gradually integrated into the offense from a six-man role. If you can put Dwayne Wade, an all-timer, out of the starting lineup on the bench, IT can get on the bench.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's just... I can't say it any clearer.
Well, I think that's a classic case of over-processing, over-coaching, et cetera.
Yep.
You know, because the thing about it is, you know, when if it worked, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
wait till something go bad. And with the guy Calderon, I think they had a flow. They was going. The ball was moving. And, you know, when the ball moving, bodies move, that's when you make plays. And yeah. So the ball is not moving. It's just getting stuck right now.
Right.
You know, Isaiah get the ball, he beating the air out of it. And then, you know, LeBron sometimes when he get it too, he keep it too long. So it's just, it's no continuity. And I just think teams that dribble the ball a lot, it suffocates the offensive flow. Because you can't really get a rhythm.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the biggest problems. You know, they can't play in rhythm. You know, it's just like when you watch good teams play, it's like you probably can go out and play, you know, or you know when you're going to get the basketball.
Because
right. When, you know, you drive and that ball come out, you know you're going to get the ball, so you prepared to make the shot.
Exactly.
But it's difficult when you're not playing a rhythm when you don't know when you're going to get the basketball. So I think that's a big problem, man. And they, you know, I think a move would be if they can get Kemba Walker. I think that would be a little bit better situation for them.
Well, there talks about
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
They talked about George Hill, Kemba Walker.
Yeah, what I'm hearing that George Hill one is the one. That's what Windhorse is reporting.
Right.
That Channing Frye, I think Shumpert.
Shumpert has to go.
Right.
Any trade, he's got to go.
Shumpert and somebody else or whatever. And I think they want the pick. See, that's the thing. The pick is the hang up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not really getting anything. It's George Hill and fish, eggs, and rice worth giving up the pick and whatever for that? I mean, it's, to me, no.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, not to be biased, my boy Lou Will, they need points, man.
Yeah.
Lou is an instant 20, 25. Go get him and shoot. You can stay with Catarón with that flow. Because Lou can handle the ball, too, as a point. He's got a point, but he can facilitate for 10 minutes. You know what I mean? But in terms of putting the ball in the back, he's a guaranteed 20, 25 points.
But
guaranteed.
They're playing better. Yeah. See, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. That the Clippers have played better.
Yes.
But and started to at least show some signs. I'm not saying they're going to make a run. But
you know what? I think Boston would go after Lou because their depth on their bench is not as – it's not where it needs to be.
And but one person I think, if I was Boston, I'd be going after. And that's the bro. I would be trying to package. If you're going to go and really do something with that team, you got to go get him.
I feel you. All right, on the phone, we got our main man, D-Will, the coach. What's up, D-Will?
What's happening?
What's happening, man?
What up, Weezy?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, I can hear you.
What's going on? You want to get in on this conversation?
Okay, man. Y'all talking NBA. I had to call in and get my pieces in. Y'all already know that.
I already know. So, listen, we talking about the Cleveland locker room. What's going on with that?
Man, I agree with what Coach Bo Bell said earlier. What's up, Bo?
Yo, what up, dude?
It's Isaiah Thomas putting him in the starting lineup just because who he was and what the trade was supposed to be. I think that's threw off the entire chemistry of the team. We saw them earlier in the season go through what they went through. They went through tough times. They finally eradicated their problems. They went on a big win streak. And as soon as Isaiah Thomas came back, they went right back into the dumps like they were earlier in the season. And they had the same issue with it when they had Dwayne Wade in the starting lineup, and they ended up moving him to the bench. I agree. We have said on this show for the last, I know, 4 or 5 years since we started it, that Isaiah Thomas is strictly a six man. He had a great year in Boston last year, which propelled him to this status that he's at right now. But we all know he is better equipped for coming off the bench, and they're throwing off their entire chemistry with putting him in the starting lineup.
Now, with that being said, I got to throw this at Coach Bo Bell first. Allegedly, there's some rumors that Dan Gilbert wants to sell the Cavs now. So the question would be, does that force LeBron to make a move to say, I'm out of here now? Because it seems like now Dan Gilbert has made a commitment and LeBron won't make a commitment. So does that, if he wants to sell the team, because it's out, does LeBron leave now, Coach?
Well, you know, I think it's already been a lot of fog in the air for some time, because the reason Kyrie left is because he knew that LeBron was going to leave. And Dan Gilbert is thinking about selling the team because he knows about that fog is in the air,
right,
that LeBron is going to leave. That's why he's thinking about selling the team. And I think it's realistic that he's going to probably be leaving, man. I mean, some people are talking about, I've heard New York, I've heard L.A.
Houston.
I've heard Houston.
I got another theory to go along with that. But before I get to that, well, if LeBron is not going to be there, how valuable is the Cavaliers?
See, that's the key right there.
Right.
To me,
if
I would have never allowed Kyrie to leave. I don't care what he said, how mad he was. He could not have left the organization. Because if LeBron leaves and you still have Kyrie, at least you got something there as a franchise to build around.
Yep.
You know, we've seen them clean house other ways and get players in some kind of way. Somebody won't play with Kyrie. So I think Cleveland they panicked and they got rid of Kyrie when they shouldn't have. And to me, that was the worst move besides LeBron kind of holding them over a barrel. Because what else is there for Dan Gilbert to do? If he says to you, look, I need a commitment from you. I'll get rid of this pick. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You have to just tell me you're going to be here.
Right.
But if you are the person that's holding me up and saying, well, don't look at me because I got to protect the interests of the Cavs. And you're holding me back.
No, I agree. Hey, D-Will, before I get to you, I'm going to go to Jay Smooth real quick and get his thoughts.
Well, this is – clearly a pretty large transaction to make. And I'm assuming was this January 24th?
Right.
I'm assuming between now and April in the next 3 or 4 months, you're not going to make a nearly what maybe $1 billion transaction. That's not going to happen. So Dan Gilbert, he's stuck between the rock and hard place. He's not moving his team. He's stuck with the team. LeBron is likely gone. Kevin Love will probably be his franchise player. Next year, it'll look like the Minnesota Timberwolves of old. That's what Cleveland will likely be next year. Them and, they can keep Isaiah Thomas. But Isaiah Thomas, he looks real bad. He looks like a cancer to me right now. He looks like a real malcontent. And I know it's only, 8 games, but let's just talk about how horrible they are on defense.
Oh, my God.
I mean, they are nearly last in the league, right above the Sacramento Kings in defense.
Right.
If they play anything that resembled defense, they might be in a better position, but they hadn't played defense for the last 3 or 4 years.
You can just look at that Thunder game.
Yeah. Right.
148.
Last night against San Antonio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, too, like just like we talked about earlier, once the trust vacate,
yeah,
you can kiss the baby.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can kiss the baby. Ain't no defense, nothing. It's like, okay, let me don't get hurt. You know what I mean? Type deal. Let me just make it through the season, don't get hurt. Let's see what happened after that.
Yeah.
So they there's no trust there, and things is all over the place. It's just, oh, yeah. It just don't look good watching. It's not good.
They got a warrior problem. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's the problem right there. It's Golden State. Yeah. They tore up their team because of them.
Hey, D. Will, all right, your thoughts on the Cavs possibly, with Dan Gilbert possibly selling the Cavs?
Man, Dan Gilbert ain't selling a damn thing. This is all smoke and mirrors. I'm not buying that. I have never trusted Dan Gilbert in any decisions he's made. Ever since his response for the letter that he wrote when LeBron left to go to Miami, I've lost total respect for him. So whatever he does, I can care less because he's stuck with this team. If LeBron doesn't make a commitment to come back, he's stuck with the team. All right, but I want to bring up something Coach Bobel said again earlier. A perfect trade for Cleveland would be Lou Williams, and I know he kind of feels like I'm over by saying that, but that would be awesome for him because, like he said, he's able to facilitate. He's not a point guard, but he is an automatic 20 or 25 points a game, and he could come off the bench because that's where the Cavs have a lot of issues right now is in bench scoring. Once LeBron goes out of the game, like the hand always alludes to, they were able to turn the reins over to Kyrie and say, okay, Kyrie, here's your time to go get yours. They don't have that anymore, all right? So without having Lou Williams would be the ultimate piece that they need because they need scoring. They also need a facilitator, and he would do both of those for that team.
Yep. Couldn't agree more.
Yep. All right, so I'm going to go to my theory. And I'm going to show Coach Bobel this, and I'm going to read it to you guys. I'm going to let you see this first. You see that?
Yep.
All right. So now, Adrian Wojnarowski on Twitter has put out the Spurs may have a deal with Indiana for Kawhi Leonard.
I figured something was going on there.
Okay. So now, if the Spurs trade Kawhi Leonard and LeBron leaves Cleveland, doesn't that make San Antonio a destination for LeBron?
He always wanted to.
Go ahead, Coach. Look at it. look, the much as they move the ball, I know you weren't. Go ahead, Coach.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that one. But if he had a chance to pick. Did you see the game the other night when they played? Did you see after the game how he embraced Pop? So that was something right there. So, oh, man. If he goes there, that's going to add another 3 or 4 years on his career.
Yeah.
Easily. I promise you. Because of their style of play.
Right.
You know? And you get a guy like that talented, where he don't have to create and facilitate. All you got to do is wait and play because you know where you're going to get the basketball because of the way that they play. He going to, man. That might be a home run right there, man.
Yeah. I do well. Your thoughts.
Let me say.
Go ahead.
Woo.
I already know you were itching over there.
Let me say.
Go ahead.
What pieces, if they get rid of Kawhi, what pieces do they have? I understand San Antonio runs a great system, But what does he have to play with? Manu Ginobili's done. Tony Parker's done. Tim Duncan is gone. So what are we talking about? We're talking about LeBron going to play with Slow-Mo. We're talking about the Slow-Mo in, what's his name?
LaMarcus.
Kyle Anderson. LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, that's not championship, especially in the West.
Right,
they're not competing in the West with LeBron James and that cast of characters. This is Cleveland 2.0. I understand they have Pop, but they're not beating Golden State.
But they got the coach though. They got the Belichick of NBA.
He don't play on the court. He not suiting up.
But you know, I think though. Here's what I think, because like you get a guy like LeBron going to the Spurs with his whole charisma, his everything, his pedigree, everything that he bring along with him. He makes guys better.
They fourth now.
He make players better. So I think that with what the nucleus that they have in place now, they're not all stars. You know, you got Aldridge there, got a couple other guys. I think the style of play, I think, is going to put them and Pop going to demand that they play defense, because if you don't score, I don't score, is 0-0. So when you play defense, you're going to always be in the game. So I think that's possible, man. Pop going to force those guys to play a certain
way. All right,
hey, isn't Melo's contract up at the end of the year too?
No, he has another year, I believe.
He got another year.
Yeah.
He can opt out, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they all still want to play together. Mm. I do. I really think they all want to play together, and that destination could be Houston or San Antonio. I really believe it. Mm. I could really see it happening. There's no state tax, so they're going to get a little bit of money back. They already all millionaires. So I could see LeBron going there if Kawhi leaves and bringing in a couple of his boys and with a couple of young players that they do have. Because
Murray.
Bryn Forbes and Murray can't shoot the ball.
Murray is starting now, too.
Yeah,
that's
Murray's
what I'm saying.
Starting
so
now.
He has some stretching.
Yep.
He's still got LaMarcus in the middle.
Yep.
He makes LaMarcus a definite, what, five to six more points a game without a doubt, with ease. So I don't know, D-Will. I don't know if it's that much of a stretch, man. Mm-hmm. Plus the thing about it is, all the guys we're talking about have a relationship with playing together in the Olympics.
Yep.
Pop is coach with Melo and all of them.
Let's just stop it right now. Who's the new Olympic coach?
Pop is.
Yep.
There you go.
I mean, it could work. It could happen.
All right, Smooth, your thoughts on the possibility of LeBron going to San Antonio, how you think it'll work?
I love the move. Honestly, I still think the Kawhi, the rumors of him, you know, being unhappy in San Antonio with the entire process. Honestly, I think that's fake news.
You do?
Yeah, I don't think Kawhi is going anywhere. And I understand, you know, he's been hurt. He's missed, you know, the majority of the games they played this season. And he's been frustrated. Him and his people and, you know, the Spurs officials or the medical officials, they've had differences of opinion and, you know, the way his rehab and treatment should go. But honestly, I think it's fake news. I think Kawhi is there to stay. I would love to see, you know, a LeBron team up with Kawhi. I don't know. It could work. If anybody can make it work, and Coach Bolt, you could probably speak to it better than we can. If anybody can make it work, I think Greg Popovich is that one. But for me, I just don't see it. I don't see LeBron to the Spurs right now. I think the Kawhi thing is.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Man, I just got something on my head right here. I think that if Paul George was available, I think he'd be a better fit with LeBron going to the Spurs as opposed to
Carmelo.
Yeah, I think so, because now you got two guys can score, can stretch, they can score, but both of those guys can facilitate. You know, when Melo get the ball, everything stops.
Yeah,
you see what I mean? That the Spurs is not that type of team. You know, that's not their system. They like that ball to move. When balls move, body moves. They want to know where the shots are coming from.
And he's a free agent.
But y'all don't think Pop can get that out of Melo? He going to get him shots. See, that's the thing. And I understand what you're saying, and I'm not all the way against it.
Yeah.
But watching San Antonio play, we've seen Danny Green become a better-than-average basketball player in that system.
It's true.
And it's all because they don't let – and you're right, the ball moves, but – everybody knows what they're going to do. You see, the roles are so defined
right.
that you don't have to worry about doing anything other than what Pop wants you to do in this situation.
I think the Achilles heel with Melo is you know, his defense. I
mean, true.
You got to defend with the Spurs.
Yeah, that's true.
He's not going to leave you on the floor. He don't play no defense, man. You know, so.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. So, I agree with
hey,
that.
Hey, listen.
Go ahead, dude.
I don't forget, though. All of this sounds great with LeBron going to San Antonio. But the elephant in the room, can they beat Golden State? That's LeBron's problem and issue right now in Cleveland.
Right.
He can't get past Golden State. And with the roster that we're putting together right now, I still don't think they have enough to get past Golden State, lacking a Kawhi Leonard. They need a Kawhi Leonard in order. Now, the Paul George thing sounds good, but I don't think he's going to San Antonio. I really believe Paul George wants to be the head of a snake, and I think he's going to L.A. in free agency next year. He's going home. That's the place that he can be. So I just really believe he wants to be that. But it would be great for him to go there. Now, if they go back and they get the banana boat together in San Antonio, like y'all said, and it's Melo, and somehow Chris Paul gets out of his contract, and Dwayne Wade leaves Cleveland, but still, is it enough to beat Golden State, which I don't think it would be.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask y'all this. We talking about Kawhi Leonard, right? You know, it's like some guys, they don't want to be that main guy. You know what I'm saying? I just never got the impression that he wanted to be the main guy. And see, to me, you know, pressure busts a pipe, thinking right. about what it'll do to somebody's head. And so he always a reserved guy. His personality is not the leadership, like, guy, I'm going to take this role. I want to be that guy. I don't think he wants to be that guy. And Pop, them trying to seem to me, they want to make him that guy, and he don't want to be that guy.
That's a good point.
But I got a little different opinion on that.
Yeah.
And it's because I hear a lot about his uncle having a lot of input. And I think what I see is his uncle not doing this Spur way, which is take a little less money. He knows right now Kawhi should be a $200 million player.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
So, but in San Antonio, how many how many max players have they had over the years? You see what I'm saying? Even Duncan wasn't taking the max. You know, they weren't getting these big contracts. And to me, what I'm seeing and what I think is that Uncle and everybody's in Kawhi here like, look, man, Spurway is fine. You already got a title. You've already been MVP of the finals. Go get that money.
Hey.
And I think that's what's driving a little bit of that bus.
You see that?
But that's what I feel.
Now,
I don't think he wanted to do the Spur way.
Now, to your point, the misdiagnosis of his injury and things of that nature, all that does is diminishes his value.
Exactly.
And that can be a backdoor way of saying that if you're not going to tell me you go take it, your value is not going to allow you to get $200 million anyway.
G need to ring the bell because Hancock just hit the nail on the head. The bell need to be wrong.
He said
it's about that money, D. Will.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That's real.
Yeah, that's real. So let's move to this next thing. Let's talk about OKC. Let's talk about Paul George and him being a snub and Russell speaking up for him, and now they're playing well. Still, Carmelo still in the starting lineup, but do you think now, Coach, that they could get that two spot or three spot? Can they sustain this win streak that they got going on and actually compete? Because it was mostly they are more athletic than a lot of teams, and they're out athleticing everybody that they actually playing now. So your thoughts on OKC?
Well, I think anytime you get three of the top 15 players on one team, and once they come in the door and everybody make the decision that they're going to leave their ego outside the door and let's do what's right for the team, I think everybody is finally seeing that, okay, now we're going to play together. In the beginning, they was trying to figure out what their identity was. Everybody was doing their own thing, getting the feel. So now you can see when big egos come together and when they play together, things can happen. So to answer your question, I think they can compete, man. I think they will compete because they're going to just continue to get better as long as they leave their egos outside the door.
I see what you're saying, Bo, and I some of that I agree with, but I watched them even last night when they were playing Brooklyn. They were down 15 points. The reason they're still winning to me is it's on talent alone. They just out-talent everybody. They don't run sets. They don't play for each other. I mean, yeah, Russell might have 10, 12 assists, but he's the only one. Nobody else making plays for each other. It's like Melo spotting up for three. Paul George is on the break, or he'll wait to get his shot. And that's what I was saying even about the Houston game the other night. When you look inside the numbers, Golden State had 31 assists on their points, and Houston had 19. And Houston won. But when you have to make shots over and over, one-on-one, all that, that's not a good recipe to beat a team that shares the ball, like I said. And I don't think, to me, Oklahoma City shares the ball enough to – they. I think they can beat the like, 3-8 teams. But those teams that share the ball, like, they're going to get frustrated against a team like San Antonio,
right,
which makes them defend throughout the clock and then have to play. Well, that's the only thing worries me with them.
Right. Well, let me say this real quick. I agree, but the thing is during the regular season, everybody, you know, more so than ever, all kinds of teams are winning 50 games or more.
Mm-hmm.
So you really not going to know until the playoff. And when you got that kind of talent, these guys, they turn it up in the playoff. That's why when you see in the playoff, a lot of people don't even watch the game until the playoffs. Because regular season, you know, you don't really get that real, that true feel for how good they can really be. So when the playoff come, them guys hungry, never won championships. I'm just telling you, they're going to buy in and do what's necessary when you got that much talent. Because the playoff is what's going to tell you what they're really about. That's what I feel.
All right, Jay Smooth, what you got on OKC?
Well, if you ask me, the season is a foregone conclusion. I think everybody in the room knows that the Golden State Warriors will likely be the ones hoisting up that Larry O'Brien trophy. But back the reason I said that is because I think OKC, their efforts should be solely focused on doing whatever they can do to maintain Paul George, to make sure that he stays in town. I'm in the car with G. I think he's gone after the season. If, you know, and if it is true that Melo can opt out after 1 year, I think he's gone as well. They have made progress during the season. You know, as Hancock said, they're just getting by on talent for the most part. They're getting by on talent, and I think this all-star thing, Paul George not getting in, I think we might underestimate the impact that it's going to have on him. This is a guy, you know, who knows he's a top-tier talent. He's an elite talent in the NBA, and I think he's going to think about that. That's going to play in the back of his head when he decides to make that decision. But for me, that's what I'm looking at. That's what's most important to me. What are they going to do to convince Paul George to stay? Because without him, you know, Russell becomes, you know, Mr. Triple-Double again. And, you know, he's a 40-win, they're a 40-win win team season. I mean, a 40-win team every season from here on out. So that's where I am with that.
Right. All right, D-Will, your thoughts on OKC real quick.
All right, I sat back and I listened to everything everybody said, and I agree wholeheartedly. And let's think about this. Think about it like this. Golden State Warriors have ran the NBA for the last, what, 4 years? State Warriors has ran the NBA. And why have they run the NBA? Because they're the most talented team in the NBA. Is anybody on this show giving Steve Kerr any credit for what Golden State Warriors have done? No, not at all. All right, so we understand that OKC is probably the second most talented team in the NBA. So once they do get into the playoffs, they're going to be a problem to be reckoned with. Right. The regular season has no bearing on what they can do once the lights come on in the playoffs. And I'm going to tell you like this. With Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook, that is the best big three in the league. They can compete with Golden State when they're talking about their top three players. You will probably take their top three players over the other top three players in certain situations. So I'm going to tell you like this. Watch out for OKC in the playoffs, because if they get a favorable seed and they don't have to meet a Golden State until maybe the Western Conference Finals, you can bet it's probably going to be OKC. Because I will take OKC right now over Houston in a playoff series.
Okay. Hey, we go take a quick 1 minute break. But before we go to break, D-Will, I got to get your biggest all-star snub, because when we get back, we're going to all talk about it. Your biggest all-star snub.
Oh, it's by far Paul George. And I agree with what Russell Westbrook said in saying that Damian Lillard cried his way into the All-Star game. Draymond Green should not be an All-Star over Paul George. He's on it because he's on the most, like I just said, the most talented team in the NBA. And he does a lot for that team. But what is the All-Star game about? It's about numbers, and it's about fans seeing excitement. Paul George is a way more excited player than Draymond Green.
I feel you.
Just in my opinion.
All right, man. We finna go to break, man. Appreciate you calling in, D. Will. And we're going to holler at you next week because we're going to talk more NBA next week. Trust me when I tell you.
Holler at y'all, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Hey, we're going to take a one-minute break. You listen to Sports Roundtable at srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network.
What's up? This your man, D. Will, the coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports Roundtable.
What would you do if you had a twin? What prank would you do if you had a twin?
I'd be cool if vacation time. If I, you know, you need a couple of days. Hey, look, bro. Give me the day. Give me this weekend. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
That would be cool. The wives would probably be in trouble. I wouldn't do it to wives, but the girlfriends would be in trouble.
Only on WWE, The Real 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back at you. We about to finish this thing up here. Got Coach Bo Bell in studio talking to the NBA. Thanks for joining the hottest sports show out there on radio. HO. Sports superhero Hancock, the sixth man in the building. G Money behind the glass, and of course, D Will, the coach. Special guest, Bo Bell. All right, let's talk about these NBA All-Star snubs. And I'm going to get everybody's biggest snub. Chris Paul, Paul George, Devin Booker, Lou Williams, Andre Drummond, Kemba Walker, Jokic, Ben Simmons. Coach,
I'm going to tell you, man.
Your biggest snub.
My biggest snub, and I'm not being biased, and it's just real. I mean, is my kid, Lou Will.
Right.
Lou, man, I mean, you look at productivity and what he has done for his team, and you compare him to all the rest of the guys that's on that snub list, Lou stands out. He stands out. Scored 50 points one game. I mean, he's averaging 23.2 points off the bench. Now, he started a few games, but I think he still could perhaps be the sixth man of the year. So I just think Lou, man, he's well-deserving to be on the All-Star team. And I'm not just saying it because, you know, he's my kid. I'm saying it because he deserved it. He earned it.
And you got points.
I got points, man. I'm telling you, man. He should have been on that thing, man. So if anybody more deserving this year, it was him. That's my point.
I can't argue with you at all, man. I've watched him play this year. I saw him when he put the 50 on Golden State. And just watching him play, he's not just a sixth man. He's a basketball. You know, normally you think about sixth man, you think about somebody come off the bench, give you instant offense to either put you back into a game or whatever. And if he's not hot, you pull him on out.
Yep.
But he has been like the catalyst of that team right now, especially with Blake being out. He carried them. And then when Doc's son went out, you know, because he was playing good for a while, little Doc. But Lou has really elevated his game this year to a standard to where, you know, we always saw him as maybe a journeyman player or whatever, but he's playing this year like he's a cornerstone of a team the way he's played this year. Now I don't know if he'll ever get that because everybody looks at him as that six man guy. That's been the role that he's kind of defined over the last 5 to 7 years, I guess.
Yep.
But yeah, I think he's the biggest snub with Paul George coming in behind him.
All right, Jay Smooth, your biggest snub.
I completely agree with the Lou Williams, but I'll just add a different name in there. Hey, let's go Kemba Walker. This is a guy who's rarely talked about. This is a guy who's on the trading block. Unfortunately, I'm not sure why. He's on the trading block, and you know, there are six or seven players on his team that are paid way more than he is, which is, you know, sad. But I think Kemba was one, Paul George also, but I think, like you guys have said, the most flagrant or egregious snub is Lou Williams. I mean, this guy has hit the 30-point mark 14 times. Yep. And he scored 30 14 times. Yeah. I mean, he's played, you know, in the majority of the Clippers games, 45 out of, 46 that they've played so far. He's only missed, maybe a game or two. But, you know, it's, and we hadn't mentioned it, but, you know, they're picking teams playground style this year.
Right.
LeBron picks a guy, Steph picks a guy. And I think it's time that they, you know, completely, they start to pick the best players regardless of conference. And if you do it that way, you get guys like Lou Williams, you get Paul George, you get these guys, because Draymond, you shouldn't have four guys from one team on the All-Star game, in the All-Star game, and another team had two or three guys. Who was that?
The Wizards have two.
Yeah, it was the best.
Boston has two. Pelicans have two. And there's another team that has two. I know like someone like Al Horford made it because Boston has the best record in the conference. They got to have at least two players. Yeah. I feel like that's what assistant coaches, they're the ones who vote in the reserves. I think that's what they were thinking.
And he's not an all-star to me.
You don't think Al is?
No. Yeah. He's not an all-star to me.
I agree.
I mean, I think you have to take the absolute best talent, the guys who are having the best year. That's how you define an all-star.
The Raptors have two as well, DeRozan and Lowry.
Yeah,
and you telling me you can't get Lou, and I know it's based on, you know, each conference, but you can't tell me that you can't get a Paul George and Lou Williams. They are two of the top 24 players in the league this year. It's that simple.
I'm going to tell you, I would have taken the kid from Finland with Chicago before I took Al Horford.
Marketing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, G, who's your biggest note?
I was trying to look at, like, I understand with Lou Williams, because he's carrying the Clippers right now. He has been for most of this season. Chris Paul didn't play enough.
Right.
The Draymond Green selection is questionable to me. And I kind of think the LaMarcus Aldridge selection is questionable to me as well. I feel like he should have been playing much, much better. I think a snub for me, because I'm surprised that the team is in playoff contention right now, even with all the talent that they have, but they're so young. I would say Ben Simmons of the 76ers. He's averaging 19 points, 9 assists, and him and Embiid have carried the 76ers out of the basement. And I was trying to see if there's anyone on Miami who deserved to make it, because they're the fourth seed in the East right now. Maybe Whiteside. He's averaging like 14 and 11.
He's hurt all the time.
Yeah.
He's gotten hurt a lot. Yeah. But I mean, I agree with all the selections here, like especially Lou Williams. I don't know if he'll ever get this close again, because he may get traded.
And the West is going to get tougher.
Yeah. That's the thing. With the West, like, there are so many great guards in the West. Someone's going to get snubbed every year. Like, there's so many great players in the West. Yep. Someone's going to get snubbed. Paul George could have made it over Jimmy Butler.
Right.
Or Lou Williams could have made it over Lillard. And there still would have been an argument, well, maybe they should have made the team. So it's tough, but air snubs every year.
Yeah, I remember when Lou was in high school. Real quick, when he was in high school, they used to compare him to the guy of Mississippi.
Can't call them dudes.
All I did was take out me.
It came up.
What did?
The black thing.
Show me again. What thing?
That.
Yeah, I'll just keep talking.
Yeah, we keep talking?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
there we go.
Yeah, 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 you got it. Yeah. So the guy they was comparing him in high school was Monty Ellis. That's the name.
Monty Ellis. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they was comparing him to Monty Ellis in high school. And both of them went to the league, et cetera. And long story short, a lot of critics thought that Monty Ellis was going to be a better player than Lou Will.
Right.
You know, I saw it in high school. I knew, you know. But long story short, I never thought Lewis got paid what he deserved.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
You know, he never got paid. So what I'm hoping this time, no matter where he go or where he lands, I just hope he get the fair amount of market value of what he's worth. And that's coming from a personal place because he's so deserving.
Gotcha. So,
yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
All right, man, it's time to get up out of here. Boy, I hate to leave him. We need 3 hours. That's for sure. We need 3 hours. Man, shout out to Bo Bell coming through. Shout out to everybody on Facebook Live checking us out. Shout out to all the lawyer tenants that do it each and every week. Shout out to the crew. Bo Bell, give me your shouts out real quick.
Hey, shout out to everybody in the ATL, baby. Shout out to all the Bo Bell members of Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Shout out.
You already know, I am.
Hey, shout out to the Georgia Thunder, baby. We had two overtime games this week. Boogie and the boys won both of them overtime. Go Thunder.
Go.
Shout out to the crew, Coach Bo Bell. Thanks again, audience, for listening. See you next time.
Out.
Thanks for joining us on Facebook Live. Join us every week.
You already know. Anything else, Bo?
Hey,
you wanna let them know where you're at?
Hey, listen, come down and check us out, man. We at 261 Parkway Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30312. Oh, another thing. I just got the position. I'm the director of basketball operation at Swanee Sports Academy now. So if you're in Gwinnett, County, come see us up there.
Hey, we got two locations. Yo, what baby. I'm talking about? I have to all our Facebook lawyer listeners, the SRT crew. We out of here, hand. Let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Smooth. This your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Moms, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
If you didn't,
hope you got snubbed.
And we out. Peace.